if anyone here is in advertising or marketing, kill yourself.
Anarchism is not bombs, disorder, or chaos. It is not robbery or murder. It is not a war of each against all. Anarchism is the very opposite of all that. Find out for yourself. Tune in to the 4ZZZ Aniki Show on Monday from 12 to 1 p.m.
I think that violence can be even applied to the natural environment because we rely upon the natural environment for our survival. But inanimate objects, especially those that are man-made and are used to destroy life, I don't think you can be violent too. I think it's a lot of times more violent to allow them to exist.
Me name, me shirt be stained by prison stripes, my ankle lamed by ball and chain, transportation be my bane, for I'd be blamed for stealing a loaf of bread, they said, sentenced to this island dread, I'd be dead, on arrival on this convict isle, be I survive, just a while, the rats, scurvy and denial, of this colonial empire, of this colonial empire.
Good afternoon, you're on Aniki Show on 4ZZZ. It's almost 10 minutes after 12 o'clock. Thanks very much to Linda for another great episode of Alphabet Soup. I'll be here till 1 o'clock. Coming up today, I'm going to talk first of all a bit about what's happened with Baby Asher and the vigil and the campaign for refugee rights. Also, I have an interview with Robin Taubenfeld from the Friends of the Earth about the proposed waste dump, which is proposed, one of the waste dumps proposed around Australia, but this one is in Queensland. Also, we've got another episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, talking about a favourite topic of mine and many anarchists, which is anarcho-capitalists and how they're not really anarchists at all. You just heard from Combat Wombat and Displaced Peoples and their new track Asylum. It's a great one. I've played a fair bit on this show. So this morning, Baby Asher, the baby that was in the Lady Salento Children's Hospital, and the doctors were not allowing her to leave until suitable accommodation was found for her, meaning that she wasn't going to be sent back to Nauru. This morning, early in the morning, her and her mother were moved into community detention in Brisbane after an announcement yesterday from Peter Dutton, the immigration minister. And I wrote this statement about what has happened. This is not a victory. This is one step along the road to a victory. There's still over 260 people in Australia facing deportation to Nauru, including another 36 babies. Last week I spoke about a Kurdish baby who was born in the Lady Salento Hospital. I was told she was still there, but then their cousin said that she had already been moved to Brisbane Immigration Transit Accommodation. And I was there yesterday and her father was there. It is called a transit centre because it is for people in transit. That baby is set for return to Nauru. There is no reason to celebrate this. There are still almost 1,500 people in offshore detention. I will not be celebrating until they are brought back to Australia and are living in the community. The government and opposition still have a policy of offshore detention. I will not be celebrating until this policy is abolished. Minister Dutton has said Baby Asher will be sent back to Nauru after all legal and medical issues are resolved. If her and her family are found to be in need of protection by the government's dodgy fast-track policy, they will be sent to Nauru. If they are found not to be refugees owing our protection, they will be sent back to Nauru, or their country of origin, Nepal, where they are part of a Christian minority which is persecuted. On Nauru, people live in tents. The hospital is run down, and I've seen pictures of a cat wandering around inside the hospital. Manus is similar. And there are men on Manus Island who tell me that they would rather death than being stuck on Manus Island. So there's no reason to celebrate completely. There's a reason to celebrate and acknowledge that the campaign must continue. And I hope this is what is happening. So there are some things happening down at the Lady Salento Hospital. And I guess I'll mention those. But we have to keep up with this campaign. And until then, I don't think there's much reason to celebrate. It's just after 10 past 12. I'm going to play a song now by Pataphysics, and it's called Asylum is a Crime. And this was released just after the announcement that no people who arrive by boat would be settled in Australia and they'd be sent to offshore processing centres in Nauru or Manus. It's also interesting to note that people who arrived on the same boat, some people arrived on the same boat, some people are living in the community, some people are on Manus Island. So the policy is not complete.
Under Australian law, seeking asylum's now a crime. Cause ain't no politician in this country got a spine. Time after time, each body toe on the line. Detain them, I'm offshore, out of sight, out of mind. Forget about humankind, we do this despite. It breaks the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Man, what would Jesus do? Cause I'm pretty sure he wouldn't lock him up in a roof. So heartless, we're even locking children in prison in the most appalling and inhumane of living conditions. Even though in 1951 we ratified a refugee convention that prohibits asylum seekers being penalized in detention. Imagine if your people got bombed at will. Yo, imagine if your friends and family got tortured and killed. Finally get a chance to escape and be free in the land you arrive and lock you up indefinitely. See, this is the only country where detention's been the tree, the legacy of a wide Australian policy. Golden soil with the talk about inequality, with people on bridging visas living in poverty. Denying asylum, political parties don't care who dies. Sending back the boats, but that's how their ancestors arrived. Those who come here are only trying to survive. We're destroying their futures and we're destroying their lives.
Australia is the only first world country to detain indefinitely all those asylum seekers who arrive by boat, including, most controversially of all, children.
I think most people, when they look at what's happening, understand there's some kind of problem which the Immigration Department and the government isn't addressing.
The immigration centre on Christmas Island was labelled a factory for mental illness.
We stand on occupied land, stolen by the white man, straight to expanded man asylum, this is their new plan. We supported invasions of Iraq and Afghanistan. Made those country wars and so victims here journey to this land. We're part of the problems of the troops at their home. Don't want to deal with situations we created and know. Our government used it to capitalize in elections, appealing to ignorance, intolerance and border protection. Now they're bringing in no alien laws, made it impossible for people seeking freedom to come to these shores. Politicians happy to utilize anything for votes. Around the world it's not illegal to seek asylum by boat. Scapegoats practicing this fear and hate. For seeking safety we condemn refugees to a brutal fate, forcibly displaced cause of religion or race. Australians, let us hang our heads in disgrace.
Yeah man, me a tell them say, them can't put me in a them system. No one can come and control me. I mean, know where me come from, I mean, know where me going. Me got a clear vision, son of a
bitch. Come from nowhere, nowhere. When me coming from the ghetto, till me do a big decision. I will come from nowhere. Me got about the best, I know me living for the best. I will bound up nowhere. When they call me from the ghetto, till me never take the seat. I will bound up nowhere. Me thought about the rest, I know me living for the best.
Around the round table goes willing and able, set sail on a path of destruction. Overconsumption dictates fates, incarcerates any anti-state activity. Why can't it be a quest for liberty to set us free? Instead, those at sea are binding with the pepper spray of propaganda coming at you like a vulture. Monoculture, I told you, they soldier. Cause life is cheap, the price of a heartbeat, dying in the streets.
Alright! You can fool some people sometimes, but could not ever fool everyone every time. Some leaders that they want that they behave like they piss up with the system from the bush. I say so wicked and so real. If you not believe it, do not check out and see. Them want to kill the millions, if you wanna get the millions. But long time me tell them there's a good hope for evil. And life over there, the land God over there. But
I will bow down nowhere. When me coming from the ghetto, till me never be the system. I will bow down nowhere. Me got about the rest, I know me living for the best. I will bow down nowhere. When me coming from the ghetto, till me never be the system. I will bow down nowhere. Me got about the rest, I know me living for the best.
City crime, the gang crimes, lifeline shotten by the hard times. But the ghetto rhymes like bells chime under rusty tin. Hear the din of the prophets within the can game. East streets cold but bare feet, looking for something to eat. But I taste something sweet in the people that I meet. Determination and skill, survival and will to wade through the blood spilled as politicians. visions lie like mudslides to the street wires, age cries. But something other, glowing under, artistic, God of a truth, the rubble, double backflip, stumble to a voice so sweet to get you back on your feet through the rubbish to publish a voice. Publish a voice, publish a voice.
Song that we keep them on. Shushan is a burn on, always stepping next to level. Backing at the rest is them, I feel so miserable. One respect the truth and them, I turn and call me rebel. Pick up on the ghetto, you too positively hustle. I play fresh at least, and you rise up from the saddle. To imitate the fashion that I make and go for devil. Ghetto, you should rather come and know you are so able.
I'm a colonialization, try to stamp it stamp. Far reaching Australia, desert bush camp. As capitalism threatens its clam. Outside their world, while the kids still dance. Brought enhanced by culture, Lennox dance. Wisdom in trance, and a glance in the eyes of an elder sound obscene. Stronger, unbeaten by the welfare machine.
Let them know!
Just the fact that you're alive, the glint in your eyes, your grace and your love and your will to survive. Your smile, 40,000 years wide. Not a victim to the system, but a warrior insisting to be heard. Still listening for justice, still breathing for hope. Still thinking for love, still giving, despite the poverty that we live in. Every baby being born with a rhythm.
We bow down nowhere, nowhere, nowhere. When me coming from the ghetto, till me never be visited. I will bow down nowhere, nowhere. Me cut about the rest, I know me living for the best. I will bow down nowhere, nowhere, nowhere. When me coming from the ghetto, till me never be visited. I will bow down nowhere, nowhere. Me cut about the rest, I know me living for the best. Last time them said that we have to make it, yeah. But now them can't believe in the ghetto. You them overtaking and rising up positively. Yeah, watch out now.
You're on 4ZZZ 102.1 FM. This is the Aniki Show. My name is Linda. It's 20 minutes after 12 o'clock. You just heard from the United Struggle Project and Bow Down No Way. And before that was Pataphysics and Asylum is a Crime. We're going from refugees now to nuclear issues and nuclear waste. There's a dump being proposed for Queensland at Omanama, and I spoke to Friends of the Earth's Robin Taubenfeld yesterday about what's happening there.
Robin, you've been going out west of Brisbane. Can you tell me why you've been going out there?
Sure, thanks for asking. On November 14th last year, the small town of Inglewood, located to an even smaller community called Omanama, were notified that their region had been shortlisted by the federal government to potentially house Australia's national nuclear waste. The site was selected after a local landowner had nominated the site for sale to the federal government for the purpose of housing radioactive waste in a confidential process, and the community was notified. Even the politicians, including the mayor and the state government, professed to be unaware of this, and they were given 120 days, which ends on March 11th, to respond to the federal government's proposal to potentially house Australia's nuclear waste in that community. Omanama is the location of the site, which is about 20 kilometers east of Inglewood and therefore about 3 hours drive west of Brisbane. This is a local farming area, Murray-Darling region catchment area, and of course home to a broad population, part of the Goondiwindi Shire or Mega Council, and the people there are outraged and confused that their community is suddenly facing this very divisive proposal. I want to say that Omanama is one of six sites nominated nationally, and so one community in New South Wales, one community in the Northern Territory, and three communities in South Australia are facing similar struggles of responding to the federal government hoping to impose, really, nuclear waste after what they call a voluntary nomination process, offering the community $10 million to house Australia's radioactive waste for 400 years.
So one person was the first to start this process? Did they get money for that?
Well, as you are aware, over the last 18 years, the communities around Australia have been fighting the imposition of Australia's federal national nuclear waste. First in South Australia, where the Cooper Pedy Kungas fought, a legal challenge and a community campaign ended up with the support of the South Australian government to stop the radioactive waste dump being pushed on their land. Then the government, federal government, nominated a site in the Northern Territory at Muketea Station, and there was a long battle which also led to legal challenges and division in the community, which ultimately was overridden, and the community united fought against the imposition of this waste dump, or the case for it was withdrawn, and so ultimately the community won against the imposition of nuclear waste in the Northern Territories. And after 18 years of failing to impose this waste on remote or rural communities, the federal government offered this up to basically a commercial tender process. So they said local landowners, individual landowners, were offered the potential to sell their land, nominate their land for sale to the federal government for a bonanza value, I believe four times the commercial value, for the use of radioactive waste storage. The communities or the landowners' nominations were kept confidential till they were examined. I believe 25 or 26 sites were ultimately nominated, and out of that, the federal government nominated or selected six for shortlisting. And these communities have now been given until March 11th to respond, and after which the government will make a further shortlist, and over, I believe, 18 months or so, whittle that down to a final site selection. At the moment, the six sites, the communities around the six sites, are united in their opposition to having nuclear waste foisted on their regions. What we are calling for in support of these communities is that the government go back to the drawing board. Despite their propaganda and their marketing, this radioactive waste dump is not necessary for nuclear medicine, and in fact, it's a deferral of the government's taking of responsibility for its long-lived intermediate radioactive waste, for which it has no long-term plan.
So there's no simple solution to a problem that Australia has yet to face.
Government raid finds drums of leaking radioactive waste.
You're on the Aniki Show on 4ZZZ. You're listening to an interview I did with Robin Taubenfeld from Friends of the Earth.
Where does the nuclear waste come from?
The majority of the waste in radioactivity is currently housed and produced by Lucas Heights, Australia's only nuclear reactor. Other waste is contaminated soil at Woomera, which is military radioactive waste, And of course, there are small amounts of medical or commercial radioactive waste stored at, or research radioactive waste stored at facilities around Australia. Queensland does have a radioactive waste management facility and a plan, and that waste is stored at ESC, at the Queensland State Repository. And so the majority in radioactivity is produced at Lucas Heights and is stored at Lucas Heights, and that is where we believe it should remain in storage until the government actually develops a plan for this waste's long-term storage. Saying that it's low-level waste and that that will be housed at this facility, and this will be a temporary or interim storage for low, intermediate or higher level waste, is unacceptable. In fact, at community meetings, the government has acknowledged that it has no plan. Interim storage could be 20 years to 100 years, which is the life of the facility in its structure. And there is no strategy for dealing with that long-term intermediate radioactive waste.
So is there any waste coming from overseas?
Well, people have seen in the media waste coming from overseas. That waste is Australian obligated waste. So what happens is Lucas Heights reactor does create waste, and they call it an asset because rather than calling it high level waste or intermediate waste, they call it an asset because there's still radioactive materials that can be removed from it. This waste is sent now to France or Scotland for reprocessing. These assets, they call them, are sent to France for reprocessing, which is a process where they extract radioactive materials that they think can be reused. And then the remaining radioactive sludge or materials are sent back to Australia. A lot of this material has been held overseas for quite some time, and now these overseas countries are beginning the process of returning it to Australia. So we've seen the shipments coming in, but it is actually Australian waste or Australian obligated waste.
Has there been a agreement whereby Australia will take back waste that is a result of Australian uranium?
No. There's certainly frequently talk of Australia's obligation, because Australia exports uranium, to have some housing for international radioactive waste. This is also generally a conservative perspective marketing ploy to foster a further entrenchment in the nuclear industry. There's no obligation for Australia to take back radioactive waste produced from Australian uranium use. However, we do need to be aware that every uranium mine in Australia is in fact a de facto radioactive waste site, and this waste is bioavailable and a threat to humanity for thousands of years. So, you know, our ultimate goal from Friends of the Earth, where I work, is to see the ending of the nuclear cycle and ending of Australia's entrenchment in this cycle, which on a good day just creates radioactive waste which is unmanageable for millions of years. On a bad day, creates nuclear weapons.
So what is happening next with the campaign?
Well, the people of Omanama or Inglewood are hoping to get access to support in the community. The Queensland state government has come out saying it does not support the radioactive waste facility being built at Omanama or anywhere in Queensland. What we need to see is further support from the capital cities here to say support those communities in saying no. Let Lawrence Springborg know that it is a state issue. He is the leader of the opposition and that his is his seat. And we want to see the local council standing up for the community and saying no, this is not acceptable. They are organizing community events, and we certainly hope to have an event in the near future in Brisbane as well. There will be a delegation of people from each of the nominated sites to Canberra on March the 1st, where they will be raising awareness at a national level that all of these six sites are standing united in saying this process is not acceptable. The government needs to go back to the drawing board and develop a long-term plan for Australia's nuclear waste.
Thanks very much for talking to me tonight, Robin.
Thank you for having me. And for people who are interested in following the Queensland campaign, please visit the Friends of Omanama, Omanama, O-M-A-N-A-M-A, Facebook page. Or contact Friends of the Earth, Brisbane, on 0411-118-737.
What goes on at the Lucas Heights Research Establishment?
1978, two men irradiated. 1980, truck carrying radioactive material from Lucas Heights crashes on Pacific Highway. 16 people affected.
About 25 minutes to 1 o'clock. You just heard my interview with Robin Taubenfeld, Friends of the Earth nuclear campaigner, about the proposed waste dump in Omanama. And you can't help when you say Omanama from doing the Muppets theme, Omanama, do 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 do, Omanama, do 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 do. And if anyone wants to take that further, Robin was saying she wished someone would make a little video of that and have Kermit there to oppose the nuclear waste. And there is a place for people to submit submissions to the proposal, and that is at radioactivewaste.industry.gov.au. That's the email you can lodge your submission to, or you can send them to the Department of Industry, Innovation and Science, National Radioactive Waste Section, GPO 9839, Canberra, ACT 2601. And you can find the website at consult.industry.gov.au. You can also check those things out by going to the Friends of the Earth website, Friends of the Earth Brisbane Nuclear Campaign. We're going to hear a song now from Non Bossy Posse. You heard it in the middle of that interview. It's called No Danger, and it's about the nuclear reactor, Australia's only nuclear reactor, at Lucas Heights in Sydney. After that song, we're going to hear from The Stimulator, and it's The End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine.
The Prime Minister pressed a button to start the reactor, and this is the sound that HIFAR made.
January the 26th, 1958. HIFAR reactor at Lucas Heights goes critical.
In 160 acres of scrubland at Lucas Heights, near Sydney.
Radioactive waste is... to an emergency, go indoors. Close all external doors and windows. This will limit the amount of contamination entering your home.
Radioactive material from Lucas Heights crashes on Pacific Highway. 16 people affected.
won't hear any censorship beeps on 4ZZZ, so tune out now if you don't like coarse language.
You're tuned to the 4ZZZ Anarchy Show on 102.1 FM or streaming on 4ZZZFM.org.au.
In a democracy, the ignorant and meddlesome outsiders, the general population has to be kept from interfering. They can be spectators but not participants. Spectators but not participants. Spectators but not participants.
This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Spanky very much.
This brings us once again to the urgent realization of just how much there is still left to own. Item 6 on the agenda, the meaning of life.
It's the end of the world as we know it and I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, where the long journey to a brighter tomorrow begins with a single step.
In the past few weeks, 5 high-profile bankers have died, all from apparent suicides.
Another one! Another one just went past, downwards!
Must be a board meeting.
I am your host, The Stimulator, and it seems like just about every other week, I get a message that goes something like this.
Yo, Stim, big fan of the show. I just have one question. When are you going to do a sedition on anarcho-capitalism? Have you ever read Murray Rothbard? True anarchy is synonymous with free markets.
For the most part, I don't respond to these types of questions. So for all of those of you who have asked me over the years, the answer is...
Fuck anarcho-capitalism.
Seriously. At best, the attempt to marry anarchism and capitalism is a nonsensical contradiction, and at worst, it's the political equivalent of what would happen if Ayn Rand and Mussolini spawned a fedora-toting Austrian love child who happened to be born with a disease that it meant it couldn't go outside and so was forced to live its entire life confined to the bowels of online Reddit forums. Now, to be clear, as an anarchist, I'm all for smashing the state. But there's nothing particularly revolutionary or liberatory about smashing the state if it just means handing more power over to corporations. If anything, it only makes shit way fucking worse. And if you don't believe me, just ask the people of Flint, Michigan.
We started to lose our hair, all 5 of us. And we started developing rashes on our arms and our face.
Back in March of 2011, Michigan's ANCAP governor, Rick Snyder,
I'm an accountant,
signed a bill which allowed for the special appointment of so-called emergency financial managers, which are essentially just a cabal of corporate technocrats who are granted the supreme authority to override decisions made by local governments, all in the name of market efficiency.
Get in there, get the job done, get out.
In 2014, in an effort to pinch some pennies, Flint's emergency manager, Darnell Early, switched the source of the city's drinking water to the heavily polluted Flint River, which is chock full of delicious, thirst-quenching industrial chemical solvent called trihalomethane. This toxic fucking slurry immediately began corroding the city's pipes, causing a trickle-down effect of sorts with shit tons of lead leaching into the water supply and ultimately exposing the city's 100,000 residents to severe fucking lead poisoning.
I think in retrospect, if we all had, 20/20 hindsight, we'd do a lot of things different.
I'm an accountant.
I love you because you kill people.
And now, impoverished Flint residents who can't afford to pay for their poisoned fucking water are getting their pipes shut off altogether.
Stop the water, shut up! Water is a human right!
Just like their neighbors in the cash-strapped city of Detroit, where thousands of peeps have had their drinking water cut off in strict accordance with the libertarian logic of the free fucking market. Or maybe you can ask peeps living in California's San Fernando Valley, who for months now have been dealing with a giant fucking natural gas leak.
Hey, Stim, I got a natural gas leak for ya.
Jesus fucking Christ, that's rank. You're a sick fuck agitator. Anyway, as I was saying, residents of the Porto Ranch community north of Los Angeles are currently facing the United Snake's biggest environmental disaster since 2010, when the BP's Deepwater Horizon oil rig blew the fuck up in the Gulf of Mexico. For months now, a steady stream of methane has been spewing out into the Aliso Canyon underground natural gas storage facility, causing a slew of health problems for local residents.
I have terrible headaches, my daughter experienced stomach pain, my son's got nosebleeds. It's just really bad.
Forcing the evacuation of thousands of peeps from the surrounding community and leading the state governor to declare a motherfucking state of emergency. To make matters even worse, methane is about 86 times more powerful than CO2 in terms of its greenhouse gas effect, meaning that this fuck-up is making a gigantic contribution to the runaway climate change already fueling a historically unprecedented regional drought. At its highest level, this leak accounts for a whopping 25% of California's total emissions, roughly equivalent to the effects of driving 4.5 million fucking cars every single motherfucking day. This epic clusterfuck has been compounded by the fact that Southern California Gas, the company which owns the site, inexplicably removed the facility's emergency shutoff valve and never replaced it, no doubt because doing so will have cost them money that they didn't want to spend. And since the leak is 8,000 feet underground and extremely hard to get, it's expected to take several months to fix, meaning that there's nothing that peeps can do but wait for the free market to do its magic. Fuck anarcho-capitalism. So yeah, I hope that answers your question. Now stop bugging me about it.
Trappers who don't hold heat, gangsters who don't stroll streets, next level criminality, keep it shit low key. Not like Bobby Smurda's dumbass, but they do the schmoney though. I mean, they show money, then the police dance on our bones. It's time to overthrow 'em, cause these banksters don't play. Plus made the rules up in this shady game. Gang begging for major pay. They pushing their laws like narcotics, running black males and in prisons, box up their products. Why how Nike be banking off the prison complex? Even Michael Jordan, a gangster, he also bank off the process. So fuck your idol about that greed. Plus them Nikes don't fit my principles, that's why I sold my threes. What about our babies, they get deployed overseas. And our women, y'all know what happens to our women overseas. Prostitution rings, cause poverty's to blame. Exploitation at its highest, all is made in the USA by these gangsters and these pimps. They the trillers of trappers, y'all know what it is.
For weeks now, high-priced financial analysts, hedge fund managers, and Wall Street execs have been shitting their $10,000 designer suits as that convergence of warning signs indicate that a clusterfuck of epic proportions is about to hit the global motherfucking economy.
Mr. Plouffe, have you seen the latest stock price? It's hitting an all-time low of $18, and it's still dropping. Almost $400 billion of wealth was lost today.
Unlike the great financial shitstorm of 2007 and 2008, when bankers and coked-out stockbrokers were too busy groping around in a greasy fucking orgy of CDO and mortgage-backed derivatives trading to see the writing on the fucking wall.
And then that happens.
This time around, the same assortment of capitalist scum are completely fucking aware of the 10-story shit-nami looming on the not-so-distant horizon, but have no fucking way to stop it. While millions of peeps are glued to their screens this month, cycling through photos of JB's fucked up new hairdo, and reading an endless supply of clickbait articles about the new Star Wars flick, several top bankers were sounding the horn, alerting their fellow rats that the time has come to abandon ship.
Shit!
Hey, that was Wilkins of finance. Oh, no, that was Robertson.
On January 8th, a leading economist from the Royal Bank of Scotland published a memo urging investors to, quote, sell everything.
How can the price be going down?
Something's wrong.
And warning that 2016 is going to be a, quote, cataclysmic year that could see up to one-fifth of the total global stock market wiped the fuck out.
What you're telling me is that music is about to stop. And we're going to be left holding the biggest bag of odorous excrement ever assembled in the history of capitalism.
This gloomy prediction has been more or less echoed by economists at several behemoth fucking banks, including Morgan Stanley, Barclays, Bank of America, Merrill fucking Lynch, Deutsche Bank, and JP Morgan. This time around, the epicenter of the crisis is China, the very engine of global economic growth that has been propping up the entire international economy since the 2008 meltdown. For years now, gangster capitalists have been pouring billions of dollars into a giant fucking construction boom in China, building sprawling ghost towns that nobody fucking lives in.
Except for maybe these chickens.
This insane fucking building bonanza has used up a huge percentage of the world's total output of oil, concrete, coal, steel, and other metals. And now that the party's wrapping up, the prices of these commodities are in total fucking freefall, with some analysts predicting that the price of oil could drop down to as low as $10 a motherfucking barrel.
Bring it down more, fuck!
This is yet more good news for opponents of
the motherfucking tar sands,
since the energy and extractive corporations most heavily invested in mining and refining this toxic sludge are going to take a serious fucking hit. Who knows? Some of them might go bankrupt and have to shut down.
What do you mean you fucking got laid off?
The fucking price of oil or some shit.
But while this looming economic collapse may seem like great news to peeps eagerly awaiting the violent death of capitalism and the chance to piss on its fucking grave, the unfortunate reality is that it will be mostly poor peeps who get fucked in the end. Further economic turmoil risks increasing the nationalist backlash that is already reaching a fever pitch in the West and will no doubt make life even more desperate for peeps in the global South who are already suffering the brunt of global inequality and runaway climate change. After the 2008 crisis, rich fucking bankers got bailed out on the public dime, while millions of poor peeps found themselves homeless and millions more lost their jobs. Politicians around the world followed up this economic shock therapy by gutting pensions, privatizing public services and industries, and pushing through painful cuts to public spending. If we want to avoid having the same thing happen next time around, peeps will have to be ready to seriously throw down. Voting for Bernie's just not gonna cut it.
No! Jesus.
A recent report published by Oxfam pointed out that the 62 richest motherfuckers on Earth now possess the same amount of wealth as the bottom 50% of the world's population. Now, I'm no economist.
Just tell me the truth!
But it seems like the most sensible and financially prudent thing to do will be to round up these 62 posh, caviar-sucking parasites, put them all onto a cruise ship, tell them that they're going to a luxury resort in the Maldives, steer that cruise ship into the middle of the Arctic fucking ocean, sink it, and start divvying up their shit. This might not fix everything, but it'd be a good start. And that's it for this edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine. Many of you found this fucking show through the corporate spy website known as Fedbook. Since we don't own this infrastructure, we're quite sure that at any moment, they could yank our pages, and you motherfuckers wouldn't know when we put out a new edition. One way to get this filthy fucking show without Zuckerberg's interference is to subscribe to our podcast. But if that's not your thing, you can always sign up to our twice-a-month Guacamole newsletter. This month, we will raffle one of our badass Submedia t-shirts to a lucky person who subscribes to Guacamole. To do so, just visit my fucking website, stimulator.tv. With that said, I want to thank the peeps who donated, despite living in these shitty economic times. So, much gratitude to Jonathan, Kyle, Christian, Bruno, Steven, Miguel, Shannon, Francois, John, Benjamin, Jennifer, Jania, Claire, Samuel, Veronica, Darren, Justin, Guillaume, Robin, Ranko, Hassan, Hansen, Dera, Raul, Max, Baraton, Carlis, and Blade. Tostilocos. I would also like to welcome the newest member of the Taconspiracy, Nada. Stay tuned next time for another riotous roundup of the news from the global motherfucking resistance. Hasta la pasta, compañeros.
Trying to kill us and trap us, they handling they biz. They the real gangsters, they the real pimps. They the killers and trappers, y'all know what it is.
You can check out the Stimulators show. There's heaps up there at the moment at stimulator.tv or submedia.tv. It is 5 minutes to 1 o'clock. Thanks for listening to the Anarchy show today. My name's Linda. I'll be back next week from 12 o'clock. And Grace is up next. I just wanted to mention that, once again, it's in The Age that Minister Dutton is vowing that baby Asher will be returned to to Nauru. They might actually leave her in community detention for quite some time, sort of quietly, and yeah, who knows when she'll be moved back, but she will be moved back. So we have to keep vigilant and continue the fight. And just to mention, there's a vigil today at 5:30 at Lady Salento at 5:30 on Wednesday, which is held by the National Union of Students. Someone's mentioned on the Facebook that they have no wish to attend a celebration and disturb hospital patients and staff further. So perhaps there is more appropriate places for gatherings to be held. There's also going to be something at a politician's office, and I think that's Vicky Howard. I'm just looking that up now. It's happening today from 3 till 6 p.m. So can get down to 636 Moggle Road, Indooroopilly, and that is the office of the LNP member for Ryan, Jane Prentice. So there'll be people there today, so let's hope we keep up the pressure and change these policies once and for all. Gonna go out with a song. This is by Tanya Tagak and Boogie the Beat. It's called Yuja.
There's many, many different ways that you can produce this noise. This noise. This noise. There's many, many different ways that you can produce this noise.